Welcome to Wobbly Player Syndrome episode. Oh, what are we up to? 16. 16?
Sounds right.
Sweet 16. That's us for sure. Just look at us. That's why we got rid of the guy who swears a lot. Welcome, everyone. Wobbly Podcast. Wobbly Podcast. Off to a good start. Stop the clock at 1 minute 24. We're away. It is episode 16. We never knew we'd get it this far, but I keep getting kicked in the garage, so what else am I going to do? Yeah. Welcome all to the people listening to us on the podcast later on when I transfer this. I'm sorry for the delay of this one. We had some issues in life getting in the way, but we are here now. And we have a new, you probably noticed there's a new face, so we won't talk about them yet. Because, you know, No, we can't make him feel welcomed. That's not the way of the RLG lads. We have our regular crew, the man whose beard has got short, Michael.
Hey, how's it doing?
I'm all right, how are you? Apparently someone's playing Steam. In the top right-hand corner, he's recovered from Nurgle. We wish he'd change something about it, though. Here is Mark.
Yo, yo.
Fabulous. Spinning top. Yeah. Yes, and we do have a new person in the left. Oh, I'm Greg. Hi. And we do have a person in my left. Well, the other corner. Another beard. Another headphone. It is... Let's go full name. We just want Parker. Up to you? Okay. The almighty beard who wields the power of truth. Parker. How's that?
Sounds good. Whatever. Yeah. It's whatever, Parker.
But we shall call him out. Tim. Steve, I'll probably call him Steve every now and again. Hopefully that's right.
Yep.
It is Parker as well. I will get it mixed up because that's what I do.
That's fine.
He is part of our LG. One of the newest to our group, aren't you?
Yep, that's right.
And you're still hanging around. Year. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Obviously, you haven't played against Mark yet.
Yes, I did, actually. Oh, my first game.
Oh, the other Mark. The one who swears a lot.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. Not really, yeah.
What brought you to our friendly, inverted commas, group?
Actually, the OG Steve brought me in. So, months ago.
Yeah.
I had my first game against Steve in Kill Team. That's what kind of brought me back.
Oh, okay.
And then he mentioned a few months later that you guys were having a slow grow, and I put my hand up for that, and the rest is history, I guess.
The rest is
and
history.
And now I'm playing Age of Sigmar mostly.
Yeah, well, fantastic. That worked.
I'm spread across all the 40K products at the moment.
Yeah, welcome to the 40K podcast. Age of Sigmar is the spawn of the devil. you will see my... Hey, Soccer Walker, how you going? Ness, you missed everything. We're about to wrap up. No, it's all good. We've just started. It's a late start. Unfortunately, the Mondays probably be a late start more often than not. If you are looking at our Twitch, twitch.tv/redbelly, you will see my garage in shambles. But a progressive shambles.
I don't know. My background doesn't look a whole lot better.
I just moved the camera slightly to try and hide some of it, but I am doing a lot of construction in here. That's why, and that's my excuse. It's not because I'm drunk and like hammers. So you've joined us. Back to you. It's not always about me. Don't listen to what the others say. You've joined us. You've decided I've had enough of these amateurs on a podcast. Let me in. Is that how it happened?
Yeah. No, not really. When Steve, you know, invited me to the slow grow, basically, he mentioned that you guys had a podcast as well.
Yep.
So I kind of just slammed those in a couple of weeks. I was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind joining that.
Yeah.
And then I just recently put my hand up for it, and as luck would have it, here I am, almost straight away.
Clearly, you've listened to all 15 previous episodes. These guys are onto something here.
Yeah, I feel like we need more Primaris representation. That's the real reason.
He's already in the fighting words. Wow. And that was Parker. See ya.
That's right. I've got the message out there now.
Oh, no.
Well, so, I'm the only one who's repping a Marine army tonight.
I almost bought an Ultramarine jumper.
What have I got in his army?
And then it cost like $60.
Look at the hell, brute. It's almost Primaris. Yeah. It's my arms, Rick. Yeah. So, we do have a run sheet. This is not just Chaos, because apparently it's Tomb of Primaris. We pretend we know what we're doing, and so just follow along, follow our lead, and enjoy it. How's that? Did it sound professional? Yep. Apart from that last bit.
I think it's on par for what I expect so far.
Awesome, I think. Right, so we do have a run sheet. We normally go straight to the man who knows everything that is new, Michael, with all the new releases. It's pretty exciting new releases, actually.
Well, there's been a whole lot of, like, announcements in the last... We haven't had a whole lot of new stuff come out, but we've had a whole shit ton of announcements of things that will come out sometime in the future.
Maybe.
Maybe. Probably. Like, we actually had all the contrast range, and it looks like they've re-released the whole paint range on the website. Yes. Doing their patented deals that aren't discounts thing. You can buy the entire paint range as a single package, and you will save not a single fucking red cent. but you only have to click the mouse once, and really isn't that what's important?
Yeah.
Well, hang on a sec. I mean, we've gone for so long without GW being evil. I mean, they you know, like, there's going to be a relapse here at some point.
Yeah, because I was like, oh man, you can buy the whole range, and then I added it up, and I was like, that is exactly the price of all of those paints, which surprised me.
Well, how many paints is that?
A lot, I believe, is the technical term.
So I suspect that would save you at least, what,
400 you can buy clicks? You can buy all the new paints for $889.60.
Wow. All of them.
And that will get you 88 paints.
So that saves you at least 800 clicks.
I guess.
You got to think about the wear on your mouse that you're saving.
Roughly, yeah, exactly. A million clicks.
Yeah. You know, RSI is a real thing, you know. OH&S, safety first.
Yeah, if you're ever in danger of damaging your wrist, just go buy their bundle deals. other than that, we had, like, General's Handbook for 2019. It's come out.
Oh, see, look at the influence you're already getting. Unbound. Age of Sigma?
Yeah, Age of Sigma, man. I always talk about the Age of Sigma stuff when it comes out.
Yeah,
we just normally have a lot more 40K stuff that has actually come out to talk about as well. Sure. We've had Apocalypse announced that it will come out sometime in the future, which looks really cool, because it reminds me a whole lot of the 1990s Epic 40K. In fact, it looks like they've kind of just rewritten the rules almost, which is cool, but weird.
I'd like the idea of having proper detachments acting as the units.
Yeah.
I like that idea, like, thematically. I only have about 2,000 points worth of Space Marines left from Apocalypse level battles for a few years, I think. But yeah, the idea appeals to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, as someone who owns like 3 or 4 companies, it's cool, but I don't own that many movement trays.
No.
Well, you can 3D print them, can't you?
I don't have a 3D printer.
You can order Chinese food. That's what we used to do back in the day.
Just put them on the trays. No, all, make them ride
my
spin wheels.
Warhammer movement trays were made out of, like, cereal packets. It's cut out of cardboard in the right shape.
You didn't go to the carton.
Chinese container lids. That was
great.
I had Facebook advertise me some interesting movement trays that were basically sheet metal with a little handle to pull them up, and just magnetize your models to it. And they all sit on there. Yeah. Like, that looks really cool.
Well, that's what I did with my dwarves. All my dwarves, like, we just got sheets of magnets and cut out squares, put squares of magnet on the bases, and just had a metal sheet on the movement trays.
Nice.
Yeah, look good.
Way back when!
Back when technology was magnets, yeah.
What else?
What else? Well, has anyone actually tried the contrast paints?
I have yet. Got one.
You've got one? Well, you're away.
See? One.
Yep.
Contrast Dark Angels. So I haven't tried it yet.
Decided not to go for paying for the mortgage. You've got to paint instead. Well done.
Well, I've still got to do the slow grow, so I haven't really painted any Dark Angels in quite some time.
No, I just thought of the pricing of the paints. I mean, what was it, $11.50 a pot?
I think it's $11.50 a pot. I mean,
that's expensive pot.
They're probably going for that whole. Well, you would have to buy three pots worth to do the highlights and the washes and stuff. Mm. So
they're also bigger pots. Like it's an 18, not a 12.
And it's kind of in line with the technical paints, right? The earth paints.
Mm. Okay.
Like modern earth and Aegrelian earth. I think it's in line with that pricing.
Fair. I'll have to get my hands on that. I want to try,
It's not a full 24 like the washers.
Yeah. Okay. Midway. Good. It's a midi.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. It's not a pot. It's a midi. It's not. Yeah. did you know Adelaide has different size pints? I thought, hang on, pint is a form of measurement.
A pint is a pint.
Pint
how
is a
pint.
Bigger or smaller?
Well, I was there on the weekend and I went, I'll have a beer, thanks. And I said, do you want a pint? I went, absolutely. And got a schooner. I went, hang on, that's not right.
Well, actually, a lot of pubs do that. If you ask for a pint, they'll just give you a schooner because they're dickheads.
And I asked for a schooner and I got a pot. I went, oh my God. And then I checked the menu. It actually said, you can have this. It's $11.50 for a pint or $9.50 for an Adelaide pint. What's a pint?
So what, an Adelaide pint is a real pint and then everybody else just gets schooners?
No, pint. If you want the proper pint, that's a not an Adelaide pint. Adelaide pints are only smaller.
So did Electronic Arts buy Adelaide? Is that what happened here?
You pay extra $3.50 and have the rest of that pint added on.
I think you will find that having smaller glasses called pints is actually very ethical, and gamers love it.
That's
They're
right.
called surprise mechanics.
But it's really weird when I had to update
it's a
it
surprise
halfway through.
Pint.
Well, nobody ever accused the Imperial Standard of being standard.
True story. we also had they gave release dates for those new Mechanicus transports and stuff, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yep. That's coming out soonish, as is the new Primaris bullshit tank, of which I will totally be buying.
It looks so good.
That's actually up for pre-order, on Saturday?
This week?
Yeah. Not quite yet, but...
I love the look of the Mechanicus one. I think
29th of June for pre-order.
I think the Primaris one is a little bit silly. I think on our Facebook page I put down it's a little bit silly with all those guns for a standard tank that's not a heavy support.
A heavy support?
It's super heavy. It's not a super heavy.
It's not a super heavy.
Yeah, it is a heavy.
But, I mean, it's actually got a comparable price tag to some of the smaller super heavies, but it has about six times as many guns.
Yeah, and can still transport. Like,
yeah, but the transport capacity is a bit of a...
Nah.
Yeah, he's actually using it for transport.
Is a super heavy still a category?
Yeah, I just played against one.
Really? There's Titanic.
Yeah.
We have Titanic.
That's what I mean, Titanic. So the Bane Blades of the world. You look confused, Mark.
I'm just trying to find my codex to see where I can get this stuff. But, of course,
something has happened that's
horrifying to my computer and I can't find anything anymore.
Well, I mean, Super Heavy's not a category as such anymore. because there are no categories anymore. There's but keywords and special rules.
But keywords.
Yeah.
So we're talking Slaanesh again.
Yeah, it's all about the Slaanesh, man.
Well, yeah, I was just looking for my Imperial Guard codex so that I could maybe have a look at something like a Macarius or something.
Forget it.
Macarius,
they look
cool.
Good. I know Dave's excited about the transport for the Mechanicus. I think they're overdue for a transport because they couldn't. We may have guns, but we've also got some hand-to-hand stuff. Come over here so we can touch you. That's inappropriate.
Well, I mean, I kind of thought that was the point, you know, that the payoff for their ludicrous bullshit guns was that they couldn't get to you.
Yeah, but then you had one of the Forge Worlds, which specializes in hand-to-hand, but by the time they got there, they're dead.
Yeah.
Rizzo,
oh, yeah, but,
one.
You know, there's always at least one chapter tactic that's stupid and makes no sense. Dark Angels.
My theory is because Rob plays Rizzo, right? He plays Rizzo, but he doesn't have a hand-to-hand. So if I give him a transport, maybe he'll reduce the amount of shit guns he has coming at me and put them into infantry coming charging at me. I like that because I can kill that.
Maybe the transports are actually a cunning trap.
Yes!
Here, buy these units so that I can win.
Thank you very much! That's all I ask! That's what I put in my survey results. Oh, dear.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we did mention our slow grow, and we should talk about our hobby progress. And we'll start with Parker, because it must be extraordinary, because you've never talked about it first. So you're going to talk about the last 15 years of your life hobbying. That'd be great.
Well, condense it down to eight months play. Eight so it's
months.
A bit quicker.
No, 15 years gives time for Mark to run down on the bottle-o, get a refill.
Well, I did it's the fifth edition.
Fifth edition when you started. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had, I think, Assault on Black Reach.
Yep.
I think it was called. Just some orcs and space marines.
Just some orcs.
And then had no one to play against, so put those away in the cupboard for a while. Until last year. But the for the hobby progress this month, I guess I finished up some Inceptors for my game against Anthony.
Oh yeah,
and that was a bit of a rush. That was a bit of a rush job because he was
Smurfs.
Going to India.
You got Smurfs,
yes.
Don't you?
I do. I love them. They're great.
They are. They are indeed.
They're probably the best.
Yep.
Why would you lie like
I
that?
Know.
Why would you turn this podcast
you
into
realize,
a house of lies?
Mark doesn't have control of the
it's
podcast. You don't have to suck
finally,
up to Mark.
Finally, I'm not outnumbered.
I've got the control to turn you off.
they're the best guys in the universe. So I finished up the Inceptors. Kitbashed some Reavers this week in preparation for the next game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going up against Demons of Zench, which I've never even heard of before.
Outside
wow.
of
like the
you
books.
Haven't been listening to our podcast. So I feel offended.
Well, I don't remember you guys talking about that, actually. So
oh,
maybe
I'm sure we did.
Busy driving
we
on
talked
Canberra
about
Road,
Super Chickens,
so.
Didn't we?
I don't think so. Because I didn't even realize you could have a Demons of Zench army until I was driving against it.
Yeah.
That's
Paul, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think it's Paul.
I didn't read the name. I just read the army.
I don't need to know who I will be stomping.
Well, I had no idea. I have no idea how to approach it. So I'm like, I've got some Reavers. Steve gave me some Reaver bodies. So I just kit bashed some of that stuff together.
Wow. I'm not one to go for chaos.
Prepare
for chaos.
To be smited.
Well, I'm hoping the game rules benefit me a little bit. Because they did in the last game against Anthony.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about the slow growth specifically, battle reports
the
and stuff.
Rules.
Oh, that was... Well, anyway, hobby progress.
Yeah, so...
Let's not go down that path of death.
Got some more Inceptors as well. So I'll have two lots of Inceptors. So they've been based and the head's been painted. Painted up some Liberators for my Stormcast Eternals as well.
Liberators.
Just like...
Oh, right, I'm going... I don't remember them, Primaris. They're probably some scummy little thing.
Well, they're fantasy Primaris, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
At least I'm paying those guys black. So yeah, so a fair bit this month. What else did I do? Oh, that's about it, really. This month, a slow month.
Far too productive. Mark, bring us back down to earth.
I've actually got some progress for a change. So I finished painting all of my Horma Gaunts. And I built a new Gant squad, and I'm trying to build a Hive Tyrant, but with 7 dried out super glue tubes, I'm not having a lot of luck there. So there might be some glue in my future. But that's pretty much what I've got done since last time.
Fine. Michael, please bring some sanity back.
I've actually done a surprising amount too. Like, well, I finished one of my two units of cultists. I've actually finished most of this month's painting. I've got like the second unit are about, they got half their colors on them, because I got distracted and went ahead and in celebration of Tank Day, never skip Tank Day, I painted my Chimera.
Is it bitchin'?
I think it's pretty bitchin'. I like it. I posted it up on the website.
I did see it, and I went, see, bitchin'.
If I hadn't known about Tank Day in advance, I could have put my repulsor together as well. But you guys sprung it on me in the last hour of the day or something. I was like, damn it.
Tank Day is like that, eh? I was totally prepared to paint more cultists, and Facebook was like, yo, it's Tank Day. And I was like, fuck, okay, guess I'm painting tanks.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't need more tanks to paint. Oh, I don't have any more tanks. I've got a Baneblade yet to assemble.
Actually, the inaugural Tank Day was me painting a shit ton of Baneblades.
Well, let's face it, you know, you can't kick it off better than that.
Yeah.
It's a high standard, though.
The original Tank Day was me going, all right, I've got 5 Baneblade variants that I need to get up to base coded standard. Let's go.
And then you went through what a rattle can eat.
Well, yeah, I sprayed them all black, I hit them all with the striping, I painted all the silver, I dry brushed all the rivets, and then I hit them with a wash, and I was like, yeah, that'll do. Because it was 5 bloody Baneblade variants. Yeah, it's a lot of painting.
So was Tank Day like 3 days or something, was it?
Actually, the original Tank Day, in a Tank Day miracle, the enthusiasm that should have only lasted one day lasted 3 days, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's how you know, because nobody does a blame 3 Baneblades in a day.
No. But it was metaphorically a single day.
Yeah. You didn't sleep for those 3 days.
I did paint a lot of tanks, though.
Just a blur.
I'm going to bring back some sanity to this hobby progress, because you guys are far too progressive with your thinking. I have finally finished my first 5-man unit for the Slugger. The first.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. I know how hard that can be.
It is done. Only a crap load more to go, but here we go. And I did organise my Slugger battle and I went, oh, okay, we're going to fight Sunday. Oh, shit. I better put the other 250 points together. So that was Friday night. So I did get
them together. You made some good progress.
Oh my god, they're assembled but not painted. I feel dirty playing with grey, let alone unfinished models. But in anticipation of my enthusiasm getting revved up for it, I have bought my next month's stuff, and I'm bringing in a Razor Wing. So I'm going to have fun with that.
What's a Razor Wing?
That's the big fighter pilot for the Dark Elder.
Jakari. Oh, those guys!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So, and it's taken me 2 battles, but I realised that Venoms do a lot of damage for a transport. There you go. Well, they got the
heavy. This is going to be one of my questions for the Slugger for the topic too. Actually, these tanks.
Okay. Well, that's my progress. My big hobby progress is the bench. Last month I did get the hobby part of it done, and this month I've got the PC side of it done. So the monitors are up on the wall, the bench, the shelving. I added new shelving. Hey, I can probably need more shelving. So I did that, and I put some bench down. I went through a jigsaw. Went, I broke that. I'll get the other jigsaw out. That didn't work either. So I had to get the old circular saw out, which is a lot more fun, a lot more louder, and it's not as accurate. So that was interesting.
But I just love how it's like, let's get some work done on 40K to the circular saw. <It's> like...
I should be playing orcs, really.
Well, I mean, that's one of the dumbest things about building titans. It's like, all right, time to build some titans to the hacksaw.
Bronto Hill, hey, g'day. How are you going? I'm just saying hello to the people who've joined us. Thank you for the people who are looking at us. You poor suckers. you're meant to encourage it. All right, so we talked about slow grow. We should go on to slow grow. Now, the slow grow round was, what, round three, technically, but the first one of the scenarios. Does anyone have a copy of the scenario in front of them?
I can.
Look at them all scrambled.
I would if Windows hadn't reorganized my entire folder where I kept all this stuff.
Yes, I feel here it was you, Pronto. I was going to say, if your son was up watching this, that's inappropriate.
So, yeah, it was plot twist, Tenebrius 7. Dun, dun, dun.
Dramatic music. Tell us a story.
So, the scenario for this month was that leadership is crazy and you done get fucked by it.
That's the short version, yes.
Yes. So basically, after battle round two, everyone had minus one leadership per turn and every unit had to take morale checks. So a lot of bad shit happened.
And when you say every unit, it's even the ones that don't normally take the morale.
Because the rule as it was written was specified that they count as taking a casualty. And there's nothing in the rules that says that tanks and characters are actually immune to morale checks. Yep. They just can't take casualties because then they'd be dead.
Except for Tyranids.
Tyranids are explicitly immune to morale?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, because of synapse range.
Nope, they still take it. Yeah, even if they're immune to morale, it was a special rule.
I thought they didn't suffer.
Fearless, like the Poxwalkers, they still took morale as well, even though they don't normally take morale, because it was a special rule. That's how we read it, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Because
enough,
tanks
I guess.
Don't normally take morale. Leadership.
Yeah, but tanks aren't immune to morale.
No. We played that everyone takes it, even if you're. Because it's a special scenario.
That's fair.
Because otherwise, the guys with the synapse or the guys who have no worries about being scary because they're ugly.
Yeah, otherwise it'd be a bit of a ridiculous scenario because one would be totally immune to the special rules and the other side would be getting totally fucking ruined by them.
Yeah.
It's very easy to take stuff out of synapse and then my leadership is atrocious. So, you know, it's not that big a deal, really. You kill the synapse creatures and then bam, that's it. You're stuffed.
So it was a 500 point battle. I think for the scenario, I think 500 points was not enough.
With that special rule, it was pretty. It was more swingy than some of the smaller games almost.
So who had their game? I know I had my game. Because I was there.
Yeah, I played my game.
Yep, same. Yeah, you might have played our games at the same time.
Yep.
All right, and how did you go? Don't all talk at once.
Oh, I got the shit stomped out of me.
Nice. You were Gene Steeler Cult
versus Blood Angels, and the Bale Predator ran Ruffle Stomp all over me.
Yeah, it does that. Yeah. So, and the rules.
I was getting kind of into a position where I could deal with it, and then my anti-tank failed its morale, and my tank died. So,
that's rough.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad. Although the next turn, the Bale Predator failed its morale save and died. So you know, swings around roundabouts.
It was brutal. What about you, Parker?
So when Anthony and I played, we weren't playing by the correct rules. So we're playing So basically, the characters and the tanks weren't taking morale checks.
Oh.
So Anthony ended up winning that one because he had a tank and a and his character left, basically.
He's got
I had a few intercessors left.
Militarum Tempest, Tempestus, isn't it?
Yes, that's so, the Skarns, I think.
Yeah, the Turok.
Yeah, so he was playing Skarns, and I was playing my Primaris. And he had me pinned anyway. Like, if the morale stuff didn't come into play, he was always going to beat me. Because I made some bad tactical errors at the start by running all my good characters out into the middle of the no man's zone.
Nice.
And just got them all blitzed. Lots of gunfire. They went down very quickly. So
hotshot volley guns hurt. They're awesome.
They
do
actually really hurt.
Yeah. and he had all sorts of special weapons. It was just, it was a bloodbath for my Primaris.
I mean, that's a shame.
Yeah, but...
Primaris Ultramarines. Yeah, I'm upset for you, mate.
Yeah, I know. It's I can hear the violins. But I think the end of the second round or third round, he just lost whole units. Just whole units. Yeah. Gone from the game mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, they were failing the leadership test, so just wiping out whole units.
Yeah.
Essentially. Until it was just his characters in his tank. And at that point, I had my my intercessors left, and they just, yeah. There were three objectives. We had played with three objectives.
Yep.
We just couldn't. We just couldn't take it, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Our game
ended with three scouts left on the table. Yeah. Because he killed my warlord in the last turn, and then his warlord failed his morale check and died. And then he had like three scouts left, and that was it.
Yeah. I played against Death Guard. Who did I play against? Oh, one of the other new guys, Matt, with my Takari. But it was a bloodbath, and then the leadership started coming in, and I got tabled, and I lost most of my troops because of that scenario, not because of getting killed.
Yeah.
And I lost the game. If I had passed the leadership of my last Reavers, I would have won. But they failed, they died, got tabled.
That's what you get for rolling all those sixes.
Well, they're going leadership is terrible on them. So yeah, it's just okay. Ah, it was painful, and it was disappointing.
Well, yeah,
to have the game end that way, because it was really when we were shooting and killing each other, it was a lot of fun. To have it just got to go, oh man.
Yeah, well, I took an artifact for my general that would basically make me immune to the morale checks. I can't remember if it just auto passed them.
Yeah.
If they're within 6 inches of my warlord, but you know, Anthony just killed him real quick, so couldn't do much about it.
No, well, that's it.
Honestly, it was just.
And that's why we were saying that even leaders and anyone's fearless still took it because it's a scenario based. Otherwise, yeah, I want to take things that I'm immune, and that just makes it. I mean, there's certain armies that scenario is really good for. Marines who have a leadership of 10 to 9, and where you've got, you know, as you said, your Tyranids, I'm putting it in you, not that you can see that, leadership of 5, or, yeah, even the Jukari 6s and 7s, and sort of going, oh man, just can't do it. Minus 1 now, it's now minus 2, it's now minus 3. Ouch.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bloodbath kind of month. I know Nathan played the guy who has the Poxwalker Swarm, and his Dreadnought just wrecked the shit out of him, from what I heard.
Deleting
units a turn because he had the Onslaught Gatling Cannon Dread.
Oh, right. So one of those the new ones, the
Who's this?
I forget what they're called.
The Redemptor Dread.
That's the one.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. Like, I've got a Redemptor Dreadnought, but I'm like, 500 points is pretty low.
Yeah.
Like well, I mean, that dread is about 242 points, I think. Yeah. So it was at the month's edition was that dread.
Yeah, but like that's strong. It is real strong.
I mean, it basically did the same thing the Bale Predator did to me. So
yeah, well, that's where we're talking about the at the end of our slow grow. We'll have a look at it and see if we're doing points. So I know some do it by troop choice for this month or elites next month and stuff. So
yeah,
it's a review. 250 points. Well, I'm struggling to keep up with assembling, but that's me. I'm not normally this bad painting. It's just life and life's in the way. If you check out my Instagram, you'll see I can actually paint. But just life's getting in the way this time. It's a bit frustrating. But my 5-man squad, woohoo! You don't look too closely. I did rush it. It's taken 3 months, but I rushed it.
You've got to go by the 3-foot rule.
Yeah,
it looks okay at the other side of the table.
Do you need glasses? No. Well, please wear these ones when you look at them.
Yeah.
Good. So, I have any other battles apart from the slow grows?
I played a game of Age of Sigmar yesterday.
Any other battle reports? Anyone else?
Any games at all?
Yes, how did your Age of Sigmar? That's how you say it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It went pretty well. The guy I was playing against was really good. He knew I was a new player, so he's kind of pointing out stuff that I was doing wrong, even when it kind of went against him.
Yep.
I end up winning, but I think it's because he kind of bought a not great list, thinking because I'm a new player, I'm not going to do very well. Yeah. So I felt really bad about it in that game. So I played 5 Age of Sigmar games and I've won 2 so far.
Nice.
And I've been playing Kill Team and 40k against Steve for 8 months and I've won 2 games. So it could be why Age of Sigmar is sticking to me a bit more.
No, it's good that you had someone who's helping you out with the rules and stuff, because there's nothing worse than just coming in, I'm going to smash you.
Yeah, everyone's been really good, actually, in the Age of Sigmar community.
That's awesome. Well, I haven't played against you yet, you'll learn.
Yeah.
Age of Sigmar, you'll be able to teach me things on that one.
Yeah. It has been a different story in the 40k games I've played.
Well,
I had a lot of stompings in that.
Yeah. Well, I had a game. Our monthly meet was last weekend. Sorry, the sponsor, Montez Black. It's going down very well, but just a bit of gas there. Sorry. Sorry, folks. Sharing all the secrets. I did challenge Adam, or Pronto Hill at the moment, to a battle. And I asked him how many points he wanted. And he said, I can do 3,000 points of orcs. I went, Sure. Let me find where my Catachans are, because everything's packed away because of my demolished garage. And so we had a 3,000 point battle of Catachan versus Death Skulls. And yes, he brought a Stomper. And a Gorkamorka, or was it the other one?
A Gorkanaut.
Gorkanaut? Yeah, not Gorkamorka itself. I give up.
I can't tell the difference between a Gorkanaut and a Morkanaut.
One is cunningly brutal, and the other is brutally cunning.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. A bomber, one of the burner bombers, I think it is, a battle wagon. It's like, holy crap. It's like half his army is all these heavies. And then, all right, I will just have to bring every tank I own. So I did. I brought every tank I owned. So it was, I think we got there at 10. We worked out our forces. We set up. We finally deployed. And that was at 11 o'clock we started. It's hard. It's a lot of things to do. But we, it was a... What won it for was the accuracy of the Imperial Guard versus the inaccuracy of the... Orcs, they need 5 pluses pretty much in everything, especially if they try to shoot at something that's got smoke launchers, it makes it a 6 plus, so it made it very hard for them to hit.
But hang on, don't the 5 pluses hit half the time?
Well, I mean, being Catachans, those Catachan battle cannons.
Yeah, I did have, what did we have?
Are disgusting.
It was 3 Lehman Russes, 2 Punishers, a Exterminator, and a Demolisher Cannon. And they hurt. The Punisher was the one who did all the damage. He stood next to... I brought out the big gun, Commissar Yarrick. And so he allows you to reroll all misses against orcs in a 6-inch bubble. So when I'm rolling 20 dice twice, because the turrets fire twice... I did make a few mistakes in the game with Yarrick, but it's normally reroll once, but if against orcs, you reroll everything. And so I did a lot of damage with that, just that rerolls. And then I had Sergeant Harker in the back holding next to the las cannons, which makes them reroll ones as well. So it was the accuracy which hurt. I did expect he made me cry. Sorry, Pronto Hill, it's just, you might see the chat there that yes, Yarrick made him cry. Yep. Well, if you're going to bring a stomper, I'm bringing my own Lord of War, Mr. Yarrick himself. Yeah. I've never used him before, so because I've never, we don't, I think we don't have any other orc players. So I thought, oh, why am I going to use him? Because they nerfed Commissars. Nerfed. Hello.
Well, cool. We had what, Nathan and one other that had orcs.
Stomper from 30 to 0. Yeah, I did. It took me.
I've got an orc kill team. Nice. And they absolutely suck in kill team. They are the worst.
My first.
I've heard in kill team if they're all flamers, they're not too bad.
Burner boys. Yeah.
I've got some burner boys, but like just even then, not great. So I've just put him in my little carry case and put the carry case under the bed and
like us. What Adam did, he put a squad of burner boys in the back of a truck, so it's open top, and so they just ran in, just went straight out the top, went, yeah, okay, that hurts. And then he did something very orky. He charged a Punisher, the Overwatch plus, I had a command point, so I made it so 5 plus on the Overwatch instead of 6 plus. That whittled them down to nothing. And he went, I don't care. The rest of my squads will also charge everyone at the Punisher. I went, really? So it was very orky. Another orky
part. So suddenly it turned into bloody Rourke's Drift.
Yeah. And then we did have multiple explosions. I went, yeah, it's an orc. So that was good. Hurting himself and myself. So it was good. It was a good battle. It wasn't a high scoring game. It was 6 or 7 to 3, I think. The extra point I did was the line breaker. We played that gamble where I draw 2 cards for tactical objectives, but my opponent chooses which one I get to keep. Yes. So we got a menu of my stompers standing on objective number 5. Here, you get defend objective number 5.
Your objective is kill a psyker.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, makes it hard. You sort of go, can I could be a prick or I could be a prick. What should I do here? but it was a good game. It took most of the day. In fact, it took all day. but it was good. That was my battle report. There you go. So, Mark, you don't have any ladder of the Slogro. We don't know who's winning. I know it's not me. So I don't care. But that's not the point.
Everyone's winning.
Everyone's winning.
It's a narrative. It's a narrative campaign.
We're all winning. We're all individuals. I'm not. The other ladder for the non-Slogro with the win yesterday, they put me on top. There you go. That's all you need to know. I'm just saying this so Anthony, who's in India at the moment, you better hurry up because you've just lost the top spot. Age of Sigma, you've been playing Age of Sigma. Using the ladder, Parker?
Yeah, but I'm losing in that too. So
all right, we won't talk about that either. That, yeah.
Maybe I must have my storm cast, and then we can get you off the bottom.
Yeah, or we'll play against me.
No, I win when it's not part of this group. I get my wins outside the group.
Look, I've got the what are they? Night Haunts, and they look pretty. I don't know what I do with them, but yeah, see what happens. Hmm. Yeah. We'll have a next battle match. Be a Age of Sigmar. We need to go to an ad break because reasons. Hard to argue that, isn't it?
We need that fat dollar.
Yeah, wish. It'd be nice.
You mean you guys get paid?
All right, so we'll go on that break.
All about
and
them
then,
shill bucks.
And then we will get to our topic of the month, which is when cheese goes bad. That is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. All right, ad break. Need your board game fix? What about a new family game to entertain the kids? Head over to Rollers Board Games at rollersboardgames.com and look them up on Facebook. Board games, card games, party games, you name it, we've got it. If we don't, we'll do our best to get it. Rollers Board Games. Like what you're hearing? So do we. You scream out in the night. Who is this, you say? You speak so silently. Storyboard Concept. Ooh, oh, oh. Want to hear more? Anytime that you want. That is storyboardconcept.bandcamp.com. Yep. We are back. Thank you to Storyboard Concept for the music they provide us on this this podcast and stream. And thank you to Rollers for, I don't know actually, what do they do for us? Yeah, look at that. Like Rollers games. Board games. They provide us with hours and hours of entertainment with their board games that isn't 40K or Games Workshop. Or we just had a games day the other weekend. We arrived at the pub at 10 o'clock, got home from the pub, I think it was about 7, something like that, and played board games all day. It's exciting. It's good to be a game tester when they come down in town. You should check them out. They do have some specials on at the moment, and I'm finishing plugging that. Right, on to our topic. You just wanted to mention, what's our slow grow scenario next month?
Next month, the scenario is that at the end of each battle round, units that are not entirely on a terrain feature suffer D3 plus the current battle round mortal wounds.
Wow.
And at the beginning of the second battle round and everyone after, a random terrain feature is removed from the game.
Oh, wow.
So shit's going to be rough.
Okay, so let's move on to our topic. Oh my god, that's gonna hurt.
Everyone show up to the game with your rubber gloves and your lubricant.
We'll just pack that as standard.
Just make sure you've got flyers, and everything that moves fast.
Well, I've got my Reavers. They're basically four flyers, right?
I actually might use my Venoms as transports.
Everything I have is fast. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about topic. Our topic this month is When Cheese Goes Bad. There was a few suggestions what title it was. You all suck, so I went with mine. No. But we're looking at list building. And specifically, when does it become more of a whack list? Or a cheesy list? Or a beady list? And what do you do about it when it comes to casual gaming, more so than at tournament? Because obviously tournaments, you're going to stack it to the max. That's why you see the Castellan lists and all those. They've changed a little bit, but the meta out there is still very similar to what it was before 8th edition and all the updates. So, talk. Go on. No, Parker, it was your suggestion.
Well,
you suggested this topic. It is your fault we're talking things serious.
Yep. So basically, I guess the question came about because being a new player, I don't know when it goes. When do you cross the line basically from making competitive lists to going to cheese territory? And I don't know where that line is, basically. I tend to build not competitive lists in any way because I'm worried about taking the big units. And that was prompted as well because of a game against one of my mates who took one of every assassin and a second Vindicare assassin. And it was filthy. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And he just, there was nothing I could do about it. It was a 1500 point game as well, so I didn't have a lot of room to move. First time I came up against like any assassins, really. So having all of them there, it was a mess.
I think, I saw you post that up and I thought, mate, if I played against him and he did that, I would not be playing against him again. I think that's what it comes down to though, isn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, I didn't even, at the start of the game, I didn't realise how bad it was, right? Because I, being a new player, I knew they were strong. Didn't realise how ridiculously crazy strong they were.
Yeah. Well,
it just...
The challenge Go on.
I wouldn't want to do something like that to an experienced player that I was friends with if I wanted to stay friends with them.
Yeah.
You know? Let alone a new player? That's like...
That's harsh.
Ooh.
Well, he said at the end of the game that he was expecting me to bring Bobby G. I don't know why I expected that. Maybe because he just knew that I had one sitting on my bench. And he wanted to have something to combat that. But, I just... your guys' podcast earlier, and basically said I wouldn't bring a Bobby G below 2,000 points. So I was like, okay, that sounds like a brand up rule.
Yeah.
So I was sticking to that. So yeah, that caught me by surprise.
But, well, to be fair, Bobby G does make it into a lot of lists down to like 1,000 and exactly and there. So, so out, yeah, I mean, we're sort of a bit genteel about it, but yeah, I could definitely imagine out in the tournament scene and some of these other gaming groups that, yeah, that's probably how they're used to it. And I guess it really does sort of step into that whack territory where you're just putting down a list where you just know you're going to destroy everything you see, you know, and...
Yeah. I will build a list. Look, I always play to win. Don't get me wrong, but I don't build a list that they're going to stack it with 14 assassins and stuff like that. I like to have some sort of theme behind mine. The Catachans were heavy infantry. The addition of the tanks were only late in the game and stuff like that. But when I knew I was playing a Stomper, I'm taking all my tanks. But yeah. If I normally tank all my tanks for even a 2,000 points, no, I don't take all my tanks. I prefer a heavy infantry version of my... a large amount of infantry, not heavy infantry. They're not all overweight and can't stomp across the ground.
I don't know, have you seen a Catachan? Those dudes are fucking bulky.
True.
Well, this guy actually taken a few really annoying tanks as well. There was a tank that could hit me anywhere, like on the map, like even if you didn't have line of sight or something. So, yeah. So even my guys that I had in cover were getting blitzed.
Yeah, I just got told Adam, it was 700 point battle he played against, and they had a Manticore. Okay, for 750 points, a Manticore. That is one of those fire, no need to see where it goes, strength 10, 2d6. Just death. Hang on, I'll just reach back to the book because I can't remember off the top of my head now. Oh, no!
I
had
to Google.
I don't know what they like.
Sorry, folks.
I hate that edition. Watching that. But I used to get a lot of dirty looks in 7th edition.
Oh, we lost someone? We lost a camera? Michael?
What?
We lost you? Your camera?
I can see Michael.
Yeah, I can see him.
Oh, why can't I see Michael?
That's weird.
Did you remove him?
Yeah, probably. He probably deserved it, though.
Yeah, I'm coming up with a similar issue at the moment as well with this slow grind, where it's like...
Oh, there we go. Get back. It's all right. Relax.
I bought a repulsor for my later games, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, when is it too early to actually put a repulse from my list? Is it like, is 750 game too early? Is 1,000 points too early? Kind of thing. Because I don't want to go up against somebody, you know.
I just want to, before you answer that, the Manticore is 120 inch, no line of sight, heavy 2d6, strength 10, minus 2, d3 for 750 points battle.
Well.
See, the thing is that you've got to remember at the end of the day that you are playing on a points value sort of system. So, I mean, if you put all your points into that repulsor and then they rock in and they've got nothing but anti-tank, then that's half your army gone with, you know, something like that. So, I mean, you weigh it up. I mean, there are some units out there that are sort of, let's face it, bullshit units, and they... you know, they're overpowered for their points value.
Yeah, I really care.
But I think, I mean, the repulsor's been in through what? How many points updates have we had since 8th dropped? Mm. Good 2 or 3. So by now, I think the repulsor's probably really well balanced compared to everything else.
Well, I mean, the repulsor is pretty balanced. I mean, you're going to have trouble getting it into a 250-point increment to begin with, because a fully kitted-out repulsor is like 350 points.
Okay.
So
you really don't want that in less than 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, and if you did manage to sneak it in there, a repulsor would, like, in our current points value, just one-shot my army.
Like, well, that's what I was thinking. Like, the points are more, I feel like they're more accurate the higher you go, in, like, the bigger games you get. Whereas when it's really low, some of your models can just really dominate. Like, in my last two slow grows, I've come against tanks. Actually, even in our game, Michael, you had a vehicle, and they were really powerful units, probably the most powerful units on the field. So they make a big difference. Yeah, but it just tore through my guys. It was just cheap.
List building, it's a tough one. For me, I prefer to try and have a theme behind my force when I'm playing. If it's over 1,500, then I will go for the bigger stuff. Under 1,500, I'll go, am I going to go troop heavy and try and do this? Or am I going to try to do this? It's not a set. I must have this unit because that's the killer. I must have this unit because it's the killer. Am I playing against orcs? All right, it's a Punisher. Am I playing against Marines? All right, it's a Lehman Russ. But that's not going to be 16 Lehman Russes. Couldn't transport them all.
Well, I just remember that list that came out of ITC where the guy was putting out 6 Storm Ravens. And I was just like, really? Like, if some dude rocks up and puts out 6 of those, you're like, yes, yeah.
But I think that's it. If you're going to a tournament, though, you're expecting that beardy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially at ITC,
Well, yeah, I know. I know. But if somebody in a casual game rocked up with that, you'd just be like, dude, come on.
Well, that's it. It's trying to find that balance because you want to be competitive. You want to put your best force out there. You don't want to put, an army of grots. And actually, I do want to have an army of grots. I think that would be awesome. So that's, it doesn't help the argument.
It's a little blurry because, I mean, like an example is when I first played Anto way back and he brought a whole bunch of Razorbacks and tanks and stuff.
Yep.
And at the time, I didn't have any anti-tank weaponry.
Yep.
So I think I had one missile launcher in the whole army.
Yeah, but that's not his fault, though. That's...
And that's exactly right. Like, I wouldn't say that his list was a whack list. No. It just happened to be that I brought the wrong stuff on the day.
That's different. Because my salamanders have no heavy. They are infantry utes. And I've gone up and gone, oh, crap. There's a couple of land raiders or there's something. And how the hell am I going to stomp that? But that's not on them. I mean, that's on me.
Yeah. 8 is a bit easier on that.
Yes, because
like
anything
flaws.
Can kill anything. Because, I had troops shooting at a stomper going, oh, the last guns, there's a chance. They didn't. Well,
I think,
but there's a chance.
I think it's, I've brought it up before, but it's important to remember that in 8th edition, they literally put in the rule book, talk to your opponent, establish what type of game you're playing.
Yep.
What are your expectations?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where it comes down to. That's the difference between being a dick and just making an army, Do both of you know what to expect? I showed up to play you with those bullshit knights, man. But I told you, hey, can I play knights? I'll be bringing knights.
We said yes out loud, no internally.
So I showed up with a bullshit knight army, but I was like, look, is it okay if I play a bullshit knight army?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got Montarion, but I would not put him out on the field unless I tell the person I'm bringing Mort.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'd do the same with Bobby G as well. Like, if I was ever going to play him, I'd just say, look, well, I mostly play 1,000-point and 1,500-point games anyway.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be a low-point game.
Yeah.
So I would just say, look, I'm going to bring him,
Mort would never come out unless it's a minimum 2,000-point battle.
Yeah, and Bobby G is... I can see why someone would bring 5 assassins to go against Bobby G because I've sat down with Big Dave and we basically lined up Bobby G and as much Tau as he could fit on the table basically, and Bobby G stomped across the table, killed all of them, and he got him down to I think 1 or 2 wounds, but the fact that he's killed like a whole army on his own with no cover or anything is, well, you know.
I think what Eighth has done well, though, he's put more focus on filling your troop choices. You're not seeing the armies that are just, it's just a full elite or just a full heavy. Yeah, it's not as advantageous having an armored force of Imperial Guard, which is just tanks, because you know, you're going to get a whole six command points at the most if you do that. And it's going to be rather expensive. So, yeah, you've got the big guns, but you're going to get smashed pretty easy. Well, not easy.
See, the other thing a lot of people seem to forget is the game is a strategic game.
Yeah.
It's not just about killing the enemy. There's going to be times where you put an army on the field and you are outgunned.
Yeah.
I've had instances where I have outgunned the opponent, but they've won on points because they've picked up the strategic objectives.
Yeah. Yeah, strategic...
Well, that Apocalypse game we played, you know, my Imperial Knights were just shit-kicking everyone up and down the table, and my side lost.
Yep.
You know, because my knights couldn't hold objectives.
It's okay, folks. He's not bitter about that, the people on his team. That was you, Mark, wasn't it?
Hey, we took down Magnus.
Oh, look, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a great example of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I had an army that was very big, points-heavy individual units, and because of that, my weakness was I couldn't hold objectives.
That's a great example. Sorry, go on.
The issue with that game against my mate is that I think we're playing Relic. Was the mission?
Oh shit!
His units are so heavily dominated the field that there was nothing I could do. Like as soon as I walked into the open, Vinny Cares would shoot me down.
Yeah.
He wiped out my characters like after his first turn, basically, because the Vinny Cares let you shoot again, like roll again to wound or something if you didn't kill the character to start with. And you just keep on rolling, get like until you stop rolling higher than whatever the number is. And he could shoot me while I was in cover as well. And the relic was smack bang in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, I can't even get to it.
Yeah.
And even if I did, all these tanks in the back line were going to blow me out. But
My list from 7th to 8th for the guard is very different because of those tactical objectives. I cannot be that gun line only. I have to have some ability to move, which is great. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think those tactical objectives are awesome. Because the game where I play tactical objectives and get against him, I've won. Because his army is so much of a gun line that he just can't get to those objectives.
Yeah.
And because they're changing, he can't just put his blob army on these objectives.
Yeah.
And it becomes easier just trying to out-survive the gunfire.
So if you're going to build a list, you're going to build a list to either take tactical objectives or table someone. There's no... That's your objectives, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If you're going to build a list to table someone, it's a high risk. And I can tell you, if someone keeps bringing out all the stuff, I'd be going, I'm sick of playing against you because you're not going for the actual game objective. The objective is to do this, not just sit back and shoot everything dead. I do like a narrative of game. That's me.
Yeah.
That's why I love Kill Team, because there's the narrative behind it. Necromunda, I love that because of the narrative behind that. Even Blood Bowl has a narrative because the characters evolve and stuff like that. So anything, you've got some sort of background to it, I enjoy. Have I thought about building a whack list? Yes. Back in 7th Ed, when I was listening to other podcasts and said, you should try this, like the Fleshhound list for Chaos Corn, where you heard about that list?
I got done by it a couple of times.
I considered building it because I went, I'd love to see that in action.
The peak of popularity of that list was about when I stopped playing the tournaments.
Yeah.
Sorry, you go, Greg.
No, go. I'm having a drink.
Okay. I was going to say that I had a conversation with the guys playing Age of Sigmar against yesterday. And he was telling me, you know, with this army that you're doing, like a really popular choice is to do shoot cast. You know, and I was like, yeah, but I want people to actually want to play me. Like, if I came up with like a massive shooty list, no one would ever want to play me. He's like, oh, fair enough. We had one guy that did that, and yeah, no one would play against him. So it's like, you know, in a community, I think those kind of problems sort themselves out a bit.
But it's
interesting. I think if I wanted to play a shoot cast list, I'd tell a person, hey, I'm going to be bringing this really crazy list. Yeah. You bring a crazy list, and we'll see who has the craziest list.
Yeah, and it's that expectation thing, you know? So long as everyone consents to a bullshit game is great. Yeah. But if they're expecting, like, casual fuck-around beer and pretzels game, and you show up with a carbon copy of what won the last ITC, they're probably going to hit you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, at least tell you beforehand. I'm bringing an ITC winning. Yeah, but yeah, I'm looking at my Death Guard and it's not a competitive list. But shit, I love playing them. I really enjoy it. It's challenging because they've got no ranged weapons. They piss everyone off with their disgust and resilience. So I've heard.
Fucking resilience.
I love...
It is disgusting.
I love the bloat drones, but, you know, would a competitive list have bloat drones, that many of them flying around, or would it have other things? I don't know. I like how I play, and I like challenging myself to, all right, this may not be the strongest list, but what can I do with it?
Mm. On the same in kill team with my Ultramarines, Steve just always beats me. But every game, at least once, he gets so pissed that I've used Death the Knight again that it kind of makes it worth it. Some of that. I make Steve angry with my Death the Knight. That's all I need to do.
When I first played Steve, not you, Parker, I thought his list was a bit beardy. I wouldn't say full cheese because of the combination of the Primaris with the robots and stuff like that again. Just picked the big best of the best. Learned how to get around it, but that was it. I learned how to get around it. He just chose units, and he's got a story behind his army.
Yep.
So that's great. I love that. He's got his desert lines, not desert lines, desert lines. And so he's built his army around that story, which I love it. And so now I know what I'm expecting when I play it against. When I first played a couple of times, I go, "Oh man, that's bullshit." But that could be because it's Primaris, and I love them.
I think Steve's a good example of, you know, Steve, I've never felt that he's run a cheesy list in Kill Team or when I played him in 40K. It's just he really knows the rules.
Yeah.
And he really knows what his units do, and he knows what the best tactical choice is.
Yeah.
So, every time I play against his Harlequins, it's a bloody nightmare, and I wish I wasn't there. But, you know, he's running a subpar list. You know, he's not running the meta. He's not running the best guns. Yeah. He just knows what to do. And, you know, that's tactics.
And then you get other players.
Yeah.
Rob. Yeah. I hope you're listening. Who has his troop choice of his Mechanus filled with the, the wheelchair guys, were they destroyers? Not the wheelchair.
Cataphrons.
Yeah, those things.
Whatever they are. Breaches.
I'm just going, to me, I'm going, oh, troops are troops, not fucking heavy weapons and wheelchairs. Come on. I hate his list. I just hate his list, and I'm still struggling to get past it as well. Mind you, I haven't played against him with my guard yet, so we'll see how that goes. But there's nothing malice about his list. He's not deliberately trying to build a beardy list. He sees this unit, goes, "That's a great unit. I'm going to put that in my army. That's a great unit. I'm going to put that in my army." It's not, what can I do to rule the world, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, I think it can be good, like, if you've got a good friendship going and stuff, and that's what you want to do.
No,
just to have, like, an arms race, you know?
Good
friendship. It's like, this is my strategy, and then you've got a strategy around it.
Arms races are a dangerous game, though.
Yeah. No.
And then you're running some frick like me.
Yeah. 17 knights, is it?
No, I have 28.
That's right, 28 knights. Sorry,
he's a 29 now.
And I did see you drop that number on that post about the Titans.
Yes.
Everyone else is like, oh yeah, I've got like half a dozen. You know, bam.
All right, so we talk about lists and building really bad, well, not bad lists, competitive lists, but not beardy lists. What about... Someone just brought up in the chat, as long as you're not a rules lawyer. Now, I had a game with Adam yesterday. We were pretty flexing the rules, especially the way that I fucked up one pretty badly. and things like, oh, I forgot to drop my Storm Boys. Is it all right to drop them now? I said, yeah, shit, yeah. What's it going to do? Yeah. Where do you fit with that in social games? Tournaments is different, right? We know that. If you forget, you're fucked. Full stop.
Yeah. Right? I think I swing both ways when it comes to this.
Do you now? Welcome to the club.
As in many things. But I think if I'm going up against a guy and he's like pretty relaxed and he's like, you know, whatever, he just puts the tape measure down, moves it, whatever, a few inches. Like, that's cool. Like, as long as there's an understanding that we're just playing a relaxed game,
He's
not going to be going, oh, why are you scooping up your dice so quick? Or, you know, that was 3.5 inches instead of 3 inches. If he's not doing that to me and I'm not doing it to him and he doesn't look like he's getting an advantage, fine, whatever. But I also like playing against people who are like, no, we're doing strict rules, you know, because the rules are there for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I know at the start of the game how we're doing it, I'm fine. Either way.
But it's got to be in service of having fun, because that's why we play this game, you know.
Fucking fun.
And I've allowed people to backtrack on various things, you know, like sometimes they've forgotten a psychic phase, for example, and you just turn around and go, ah, what the hey, let's do it. I know that's not in my best interest, and in some cases it's even turned the game, but, you know, at some point you got to turn around and go, well, would this make the game more fun? If I'm telling a story about my battle report, is this going to make it better or not? Yeah. And that's really where you've got to sort of weigh it up.
Yeah, I think
I mean, like, my general attitude is like, you know, as far as picking up an opponent doing that stuff, I'm like, do I want to win a game because he lost a turn because he forgot to do something?
Mm. Or yeah.
I'd rather win by winning. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know?
I think in a scenario like that, say, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I forgot my psychic phase. Do you mind if I draw? No, go for it. But, you know, a similar scenario where you've just done a charge and you're getting into charge range, it's like, oh, no, I forgot my psychic phase and I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking Arcane Bolt. But
you're
smart. I'm going to smart that unit that you just charged with. I'm like, well, you know, would you have done that originally? Like, are you using your information? I'm still probably letting you do it. But,
That's a good example, because if he'd rolled the dice and he failed the charge range, oh, I forgot to do smite, I'd be hesitant to say yes to that one, because would he have gone with that if he had succeeded the charge?
Yeah, it's basically just using information that you didn't have before.
Well, there's a bit of common sense there, really. Yeah. I mean, you're not gonna let someone backtrack half their turn, you know, after the fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as I said, like an example, I mean, you've got Catalyst putting a 5+ feel no pain on a random Tyranid unit. Like, if somebody's forgotten that, chances are I'm going to be like, yeah, just roll it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. But it is also karma as well. You know, if you're going to give that, oh, mate, you forgot, there's a 6 there, you actually got hit on that one, not, you didn't miss, don't forget that dice. It's going to come back to you as well, right? Should.
Yeah.
It should. And if it doesn't, guess what? You won't be playing against that guy for very much longer. Or again, I should say.
It's the social contract, you know. If they're going to be a dick, it's going to come back to them.
It'll be a bigger
dick.
Yeah,
and word gets out. I mean, the community's not that big.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a good... our group is very good. We don't have any...
Yeah.
No, we don't. No, I'm just making sure. It's running through the list.
And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't like playing against Steve, for example. But, I mean, Steve's very fair about it, and he's just good at the game, you know? And you only get better by playing better opponents anyway. So, you know, like...
As I said, when I first played against, I did enjoy it. But now I've gone, hang on, he's not... There's no malice behind it. It is just, he knows the rules. As you said, he plays it very well. He knows the rules, and he's built a list to do that. It's not a beardy list. He just uses it well. And now I think that's great. That's a challenge for me.
I do enjoy playing against Steve, personally. But I think that's because he's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because everything's, you know, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. It's the same every time. there's never going to be like a 50-50 judgment call because he knows the rules.
Yeah,
and it's like, well,
there's no gray.
You know, I told you last time that's what the rules were. And it's like, yeah, fair enough. So like you're on the same page all the time. And the page is in the rule book.
That's where you go back to what you said, Michael, is talk to your opposition so you know what you're expecting. So when I first played Steve, I was going, oh, okay, this is a lot more serious than I'm used to playing. But now I'm used to it. Then I'll play against, say, Dave or Rob, and I need to take a packed lunch because they take some time with their decision making. But I know that's going to happen, so I prepare that. I might make a smaller force, so my turns don't take as long. But
I think that's it, right? I mean, like you play against Steve once, and you know how Steve plays.
Yeah.
It's like if that's something you enjoy, then it's enjoyable.
Steve, you're listening.
Every game's gonna be like,
we still want to play against you. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't change.
But please invite me over next Monday.
And remember what you're colorblind to which colors, because that's what dice I'm using next.
I think both ways I can go. I think I'm happy. Adam's a great opponent. He's like, yeah. Just do what you want.
Just
like, cool, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so
that's
like I can just hang out to
you
for an hour.
You play against Steve, and then you go play against Adam, and there's your polar opposites.
Yeah, there's your palate cleanser.
But yesterday's game, we were relaxed, and it was a lot of fun, and I did make a big mistake, and he's going, yeah, next time. Thank you, because I feel really bad about that.
See, the thing is, it's okay not to, like, to bend the rules a bit, as long as you're consistent with it, because you can't turn around and go, oh, you know, that dice is cocked, and then the next time it happens for the other person, you go, nah, you got to play it where it lies. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
And I always ask.
Inconsistency shits me more than anything else. Yeah. Mm. That's why you guys have probably noticed, like, half the time at the start of the game, I'll just be like, look, if any of my dice touch terrain, I'm re-rolling it. I'll often just lay that out at the start
of the
game.
Get rid of
the gray, because I'm just assuming they're cocked if they're on the terrain. So that there's no ambiguity, no, should I re-roll that, is that cocked? There's not even a discussion. It's like, it's on the terrain, I'm re-rolling it, regardless of what it is.
Yeah. And I say at the start of the game as well, it's like, are we doing just, if it's cocked at all, re-rolling it? You know, because I think that's probably the better way to go. Because then it's not like, oh, well, yeah, that's like, you can kind of see that it's mostly on this side, and that just happens to benefit me, so we'll go with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's schools of thought. I've heard some people run the if you can place a die on it and it doesn't slide off, then it's not cocked. I've heard that one.
That's far too much technicality for a game. We are playing a game.
Yeah,
I need a stabilizer around for that.
We are playing a game, but I want to beat you all. Don't take it personally.
It's not dice Jenga.
Yeah.
Unlike
Super Tower.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing a slow grow. I'm going to bring it back to the actual lists themselves. We're doing a slow grow. It's a great example of how to stack your list to get that. You know, I feel, for me personally, putting in the, what is it called again? The Razor Wing. I feel a bit, it's a flyer at 750 points. It seems a bit, I'm not totally comfortable with it, but I just want one. Sorry, guys. I just want one.
Well, see, the thing is that, again, I mean, you've got to weigh up what the other person can, what other cheese unit that person can put in their list.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes down to using the tools that are available to you, you know? I mean,
I think the person who put a death strike, sort of manticore, in a 750 points, it's probably a little excessive.
And this is one of the reasons why we tend to frown upon Forge World, is because Forge World tends to have these kind of units where they're just disproportionate to the points value.
They're better balanced than they were in 7th, but yeah, it's still.
I mean, it depends. Like, some Forge World stuff is crazy and some isn't. It's kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like, some of my favorite Forge World models for my guard are, like, the Malkadors and the Macariuses and the Valdors, and they're not actually that bad.
Yeah.
It's the bullshit, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah, I think it was I don't know if it's like some of the Tao suit
is ridiculous.
What's that, the Chaos Lord that's like cheap as it does nothing but just...
Oh, the Chaos, like, there was like a Chaos Cultist Sorcerer Lord or something.
Yeah,
what was that called?
But
they had to nerf it specifically,
yeah,
that unit.
Because it was being spammed in every tournament.
Yeah.
Because he was so cheap but so powerful and stuff. And yeah.
Can't remember what he was called.
Nor can I. We shall call him Frank.
Yeah.
Mm. Too many Franks. To be frank, no, too many. So when you building your slug, right? I'm pointing at you. Look at you. Look, point. You can't see that. How are you building? No, I don't need to know exact slug, right? Actually, no, tell me what you're building so I can fight you. Do you... For me, let's start with that. I've built a 2,000-point list. And I'm building my Slowgrow to that list. So I've got this month I need to get one more troop choice. I'm still going to be in a patrol formation until I get to 1,000 points. I'm not going to get a brigade. That's the next one, isn't it? Battalion. Until I get to 1,000 points.
I can barely get a patrol together.
But that's my how I've built this one. This is my list for the 2,000 points. I think it's fairly competitive. I've done some tweaks in the tomes. I've added more Venoms. And so I'm just going, this month I need to get this because that's that many points. This month I've got this because it's that many points. That's why the flyer I've got just happened to fit. This points fits this month for that. It's not I want to kill everyone with the flyer because no one should have one. It's because it fits. How have you built yours?
So, well, I mean, with mine, basically I picked I went to YouTube, actually, and I looked at a channel from a guy, Tsumugi, and I basically took his 1,000-point list, threw out the extra detachments from different hide fleets and stuff,
yeah,
and just basically built that 1,000 points, and I figured, like, it seemed like a good base, and from there I'm just going to add the extra units that I feel that I need based on how my games are going, really. That's kind of how I really sort of did my Ultramarines. In the end, I bought a bunch of units, had, you know, created a core, and then went, oh, well, these guys are putting tanks down. I guess I better get some anti-tank stuff or, you know, stuff like that. So
reactive, then. Reactive.
Yeah, it's a bit reactive, but, I mean, eventually you wind up with a rounded sort of stuff that you can pick and mix and match and that. And because once you get to about that 2,000, 3,000 points worth of models, you can just craft a list to do whatever you want to do, really.
Depending who you're playing against, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mark?
Look, I bought a bunch of sick models and then tried to figure out how I could jam them into one list.
Sounds like my death gun. That's exactly what you're
doing. I was like,
gun.
Oh, you know, there's cool new bikers, and then that cool Ridge Runner model, and there's that Black Sniper, and I just kind of... I bought all of the new Gene Stealer stuff, and then I was like, what do I need to put around this to try and make a list out of it? And then I kind of designed the 250 points at the same time as the 2K list so that they would work together. Like, yeah. I didn't start with a 2K list and work backwards, but I also didn't completely individually design the 250s. I did it with the 2K list in mind. So it's a bit of both, but mostly focused around sick shit that I want to run.
Yep, that makes sense.
Stuff I want to paint.
Yep. No, that's how I built the Death Guard, because every time that when they first came out, I want that. Oh, shit, how do I use it? I need more infantry. I know that. Anyway, that's enough about me. It's never enough about me. Parker?
I did build a 2,000-point list,
yep.
Which basically just had one of every type of unit, more or less. No real strategy in mind, except for trying to get some Hellblasters on there. But I built the Hellblasters wrong, so kind of revising that strategy at the moment. I gave him a single 36-inch shot instead of the 2 30-inch shots, which was a mistake.
Yeah,
but they're all built, so, you know, we're living with it. The and then I bought a tank as well, because I know that you probably need a tank at some point. I wasn't really fast on the tanks.
Yeah.
That's it, really. And then as each game comes along, I add in whatever I need for points and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
I think this month coming up was the first time I've actually thought about the strategy of the games we're playing. Yeah, I'm like, okay, what's the strategy for my team? How do I get in close? Like the Reavers, for example, I'm taking because they have the shock grenade. And I heard that the Zench guys have lots of flamers. So I'm hoping I can drop in a shock grenade and getting close and shut down their flamers. So that's kind of the first time.
Smite, and flames. That's Zench.
Well, I do have a Terminator Librarian as well that I'm paying up to put in there, just because nice. I'm like, oh, well, they're psychic. I need some sort of, like, anti-psychic.
So you're always building your list based on which you're fighting next.
Well, I've got the 2,000 point list, so I've got all the models for that, and then I'm just kind of jigsawing them all.
Interesting.
In there. Yeah. Right, it's not a good strategy.
I just want to know your list is when I fight you, I know what I'm fighting against.
Yeah. Probably not to Interceptors. Inceptors. Because they're kind of the models that got me back into 40K, to be honest. Because they just look like giant flying turtles. They look awesome. It's like, yep, I'm back in.
Controversy. We have a few people who don't think they look awesome, but anyway.
They just look so good.
I fucking so hate good. My Inceptors because they won't stay on their flight stands.
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah. I've drilled, I've glued, I've done... I don't even know what I can do anymore. But I've done everything.
I'm going to have to pin them. It's the only thing I can think of.
I've done it, and it doesn't work because the glue just falls out of the stand. But no.
Magnet?
I've Googled it, done it, the magnets fall off the stand. Like, I've glued magnets.
You can't use them. That's it, you just can't use them.
No, I just have to like
green stuff. Some smoke coming out of the jetpacks onto the base.
I've seen some models you can buy where it is like just smoke coming out of the jets.
Yeah,
smoke the base. But I'm not good enough at painting smoke yet. Definitely thinking about it.
There you go. All right, so where are we? We know number one rule in RLG is clearly don't be a dick. We know that. Our group's pretty good about it. Most times, unless you've been at the pub for 5 hours. Lists. Special. It's quickly. Just a quick one. Special characters in low scoring, low point armies. Yes or no?
Actually, yeah, that was my next question. Really, Vindicare Assassins in a 1,000 point list. Would that be okay? Because it's so powerful.
One Vindicare. I don't have a problem with one Vindicare in 1,000 point.
Okay, good, because look forward to seeing it then.
I mean, then, with special characters, I'm usually like, are they doing this every time? Or are they doing, like, a thing?
I had 500-point battle, and I fought Typhus, for example.
Yeah. And it's also particularly bad if it's a special character that's absolutely bullshit or that hoses your army.
Right.
Like, if you're playing, like, a super low-points game and you show up in Yarrick's in their army because they know you've got orcs.
In a 500-point army, that's a bit harsh.
You're like, ooh.
Yeah, that's a bit harsh. But yeah, I'll do it. No.
But yeah, again, I mean, you're also balancing that fact that they're putting usually more than half their points into that character.
Yeah.
I think Adam had something similar in our game as well. He had heaps of points put into a Smash Captain.
Smash Captain's different. Game. That's just a standard, and they hurt.
It's not a special character, but it's like it was a lot of points into one model.
That's a tournament,
and I was able to wipe out the rest of his units before that model even came onto the field, basically.
Yeah.
Because he kept it in orbit. So it's like you really it's a risky strategy to be doing that.
Well, wasn't that the tournament list? Squad of guard plus the castellan and a Smash Captain. That was the list that everyone bought in the tournament for a long time until the latest rules that changed some of the Smash Captain's potency.
Well, I still look pretty strong. Like, he wiped out my Warlord in like one turn.
Yeah, but you're a Smurf.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at one of our early games back in 7th. We were playing, I think it was 700 points or something, and I had Kalgar on the table.
Yeah.
And basically two tactical squads, and that was my 700 points. And then you've got like half a table worth of guard, And that worked out super well for me.
Yeah, look, the points do make a difference, trying to balance it out, especially lower end scores. Absolutely. Don't be a dick. Overpowered characters or units in low scoring points, you will not play against that person ever again. What else can we? What else can we wrap that up? Well, that's it. If you're going to be a dick and you're going to put that, you're not going to have many games against people in a casual environment, are you?
Yeah, well, I don't think people realise that is the issue, right? Like, my mate had no idea until everyone in the Warhammer store called him a douche for doing it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, I bought these models. Like, I bought them because I want to use them.
Yeah.
And now you're saying that I can't use them. Yeah, so I think it's just...
That's where I'm saying it needs to be a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, someone needs to pull them aside. I know my mate Nathan, one of the CanCons, he played this guy. And the guy had this absolute, like, it was a bullshit list, even for CanCon. Mm. And at the end of the game, he's just going, look, dude, just so you know, right, I will never play you again. No one I know will ever play you again. I will tell them that, because your list is bullshit. And that guy's a really nice guy to play. He's kind of got his shit together, and he's not an asshole anymore.
Yeah.
Because someone pulled him aside and was like, you're playing like a dick and no one will play you.
Yeah.
That's the community is like, you just get to know everybody here, right? Like, I've only been in the community for like a few months and I'm seeing people everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you probably could get a reputation pretty easily.
Oh, you do. I got a reputation of a very cool guy. It's good. Shut up! We should wrap it up, though. We have been going on for at least 3 beers worth. We should do it. Okay, so... So we've wrapped it up. We're going to talk about our social side of things. Facebook, we have a Facebook page, RLG40K. Come, visit us. We're nice. Listen to us. We don't be dicks. Yay! We also have the at RLG40K Instagram. I'm also at RedBellyBlack at Instagram. I know my own Instagram. Anyone else
I'm
have
Ron
a social...
Burgundy.
Anyone else got any social things they want to plug? Look at that. Look at how social they are. Because they've been using beady lists. Nobody wants to be social with them. Fabulous. This is our 16th podcast. There is a cost to our podcast in hosting it. If anyone wants to donate, we would greatly appreciate it. Throw money towards me. I'll take all your money. How's that? You can donate through the Twitch channel. That would be great if you could. If you want to, I should say. Because you know you want to. Trust me. How's that? Did that sound too creepy? All right. Our next meet. I don't think we've put up our next meet. We've got our Slowgrow. Do we know when our next Slowgrow is? We do, because the dates are there. Every time I ask Liam, he bites my head off because it's already
the 8th to 14th of July.
Sorry?
The 8th to 14th of July. And hopefully I'll get them
that's
in
like next
then,
week.
So this is the current one.
That's like in 2 weeks.
That's a few weeks away.
2 weeks. Yeah. During the school holidays.
We've got a late podcast.
Fabulous. So we have that. And that is 750 points and terrain that won't kill us. Fabulous. Parker, thanks for joining us. I hope it was all the wonderful stuff that your dreams have made of.
It was.
Liar, you can come back. Mark, it's you.
Adios, muchachos.
That was it. Great, thanks. I'll say bye because I always leave it to the man with the voice with the short beard. I don't know why I got the short beard. It's weird. To sign us off, thank you for the Twitch viewers. That's it. Oh, man, I'm on fire. Thanks to the Twitch viewers for watching. It's only 3 and I need more. Thanks for watching. Thanks for the comments. I didn't get back to you with all the comments because, you know, I'm unsociable that way, haven't you heard? Till next month, Michael T. take it away.
Well, now we all know how much cheese is too much cheese, but what will be the topic next month? I'm sure we'll figure something out. Join us then for more wobbly adventures!